I know that love don't refract to this. We're going to see if I can remember it.
My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give you, take control. I give my body, I
shoes, you got this list of supplies, and you go through this, and I remember one time walking so further south, and they had just gotten back through their visit, they just got back, and their house was full of school supplies for the two or three kids. And there's no way the stuff they bought is going to fit in their backpacks they had. But they had the list, and they very dutifully went down through that. In fact, on the list where it said a specific brand of pencil, the real expensive ones, you know they're expensive, they come pre-sharpened. They had bought those. Not all of them. I would have bought the cheapest pencils there are, because those people, but now they will teach us, I just pick them up and share them with anybody, everybody anyway, and I'm not going to send my kids to school with expensive pencils for other people. And she said, well, yeah, there's what they're going to do. Okay? It was a lot of money. But you know what? She had a list that told her what needs to be done, what was expected, and she went by the list. And that is commendable, isn't it? And there was a cost involved in that. Well, what about spiritual preparation? Does not God give us some lists? Now, we don't just live our whole life by checklists, and we go around that checklist, we're done. But there are some things that God gives us as lists, some things that He expects from us. We'll talk about a lot of those this weekend. And we'll go ahead and read this, continuing where it says, the watchman stays awake in vain. And it says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And I would ask, what about spiritual preparation? What about spiritual clothing? The Bible talks about spiritual clothing, doesn't it? To put on some armor and a helmet, and it's talking about the clothing that is appropriate for spiritual warfare. What about a spiritual backpack? What things should we carry along with us? What are those things that we need? And do we end up with a backpack like the kids I see at school? I don't want them to have a backpack. We don't have a supply list at our junior high. Elementary wipes out all the parents with all their money anyway. And so kids come to school, we just tell them what we need them to bring. I give them a piece of paper, too, that says, and here's what I want my class. I want you to have a folder that says math and your name on it, and the only thing that goes in there is math. Don't put science in there. If I find science in there, you have a choice. Either you lose the math stuff, or you get the target because you didn't have your math folder, or you lose all your science stuff, or whatever it is, I want a math folder and a pencil. That's it. And I say, you have until Labor Day to get it. That gives them an extra week. Because a lot of the parents have spent all their money on the younger kids' stuff. Do you know there's a whole bunch of kids who can't come to school with a folder or a pencil? You remember giving them time? And when I visit with the parents on the phone, the parents never knew about it. Well, I sent home a note, and I told the child every day. But we didn't know about it. Could you take care of it? Oh, I'll sell them a pencil. It would cost them a dollar. They can buy a whole packet for a dollar. I'll sell them a folder. It'll cost them a dollar. Just go buy your own. It's going to be a lot cheaper than if you buy it to me. Because I want them to go and be responsible for themselves. But you know, God gives us a list of stuff, and yet there are certain things, these things that He expects, these things He wants us to work on, these expectations that He has for us. And we still seem to have trouble a lot of times. And we should. We need to be spiritually prepared. But again, the title being here, every child is homeschooled. And whether you send your school, your kids off to school, the public schools or not, or someone sends them to private school, or if you actually are homeschooling, regardless, your children get the greatest percentage of their education at home. Our district pays a think tank a lot of money every year to, it's called the Selecty Center or something like that, to come out and do some workshops with us. And we send people to their places, the cost of subs, and transportation, and hotels, and food and stuff. We spend a lot of money on that every year, and they're just saying what we used to say, just give teaching. And one of the things that I point out to people, and they came out to us two summers ago for our in-service right before the start of school, they came out with this statistic, and I know every place they go, they share this with everybody, And they think it's an amazing statistic. In fact, our administration people already knew about this and encouraged them to go ahead and use it with us. And I just thought it was a duh. They said, did you know that students learn less than 25% of their stuff from us here at school? Well, duh. First of all, we only have school 180 days out of the year. That's less than half a day. And it only with us one third of the day, and one third times one half is 1/6. That's 16%. Of course, it's only less than 25%. We don't have the 25% of the time. Because learning's not just sitting down at a desk and reading and practicing. Learning's what we do every day. Learning's what we do every day. And God has the correct method. Now, do we still need to go and sit down and study about math and reading and writing and all that stuff? Absolutely. But understand, the school's at best is 16% of the time. Where are they most of the time? Well, a third of the time they're supposed to be sleeping. But most of the time they're with their family. They're with their friends. They're not at school. They're someplace else that the parents are responsible for them. You know, we really shouldn't be concerned about not having prayer in school. We should be concerned about not having prayer in the homes. Because I don't want some of the people at school teaching my kids how to pray. They must teach them wrong. They must teach them wrong things. I've got to teach my students, my kids, how to pray. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 5, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. That's really easy for me to put that other song back in with this lesson, wasn't it? We'll continue reading on, but you have to understand there's this message that we have to pass along to our children. There is truth in God's Word that we are responsible for passing along to our children. The life of being a Christian, we are responsible for passing along to the children. It's not the evangelist's job. It's not whoever's giving up, getting up there and giving a lesson. It's not the teach school system's job, believe me, it's not. It's the parents' job. Sometimes that's the grandparents who are very much involved in that. And it has to be ours. We have to live it. We have to be trying to do it before we can pass it along to the kids. It's not just a textbook that we have. Here's the Bible. Read that, do that. We've got to read it. We've got to do it. We've got to pass along to our students. And so it says, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, you shall teach them diligently to your children. I don't know what you think the word diligently means. But we all know that's more than just not only do you have an opportunity to do this once in a while. Sometimes in life, talk about it. No, diligently. Diligently. You prepare for it. You plan for it. You figure it out. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, nowadays, instead of walk by the way, we would say while you're driving in your car. In other words, you're going to visit about these things as you go places, as you do things, as you have opportunity, as a situation arises, you talk about it. You know the original education system was exactly like that. You hear those great philosophers like Plato and Socrates and things like that. People would go and pay them money to be associated with them. And they would go and they would gather with them every day. And they would travel around. They'd see a tree. And that great learned person would teach them about the tree. And they'd teach them the math and the philosophy and the writing. Everything they could about trees. And they go look at rocks and they talk about that and the river. And they learn all different manners of what we call different subjects all together, just looking at it. And they walk about and they learn about it. And God says that's what we're supposed to be doing with our children is, as we see things, we talk about them. We talk about how it relates to His Word and how it ties in. And that's God's plan. You shall talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. And when you put those signs up around you or those plaques in your house, when you get those little business card things with little sayings on them, nowadays when we post them on Facebook, That's the modern rendition. No, that isn't it. It is, isn't it? You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. In other words, everywhere you look, there's going to be something that reminds them of what God teaches. It's going to be there. It's not going to be a once a week thing, a twice a week thing. This is going to be a daily thing everywhere you go. This message, this life, this truth is something we have to pass on to our kids. And again, we have to be living it, or at least doing the best we can. We're not just dispensing religion like the Pharisees did. We're not just giving out rules like the Sadducees did. Not just a bunch of regulations like the scribes had, because that always leads to rebellion. If our faith is simply a bunch of do's and don'ts, dress codes, behaviors, just say, supply list. Check it out, got all that stuff. You know what? If he comes to school, they got all that stuff on the supply list. Does that mean they're going to learn anything? No. They can even have the right rag and pencil that was actually on the paper. And I dislike when teachers do that. Just say pencil. Now when we first move to C grades, our first supply list said green eraser. There was no such thing. They didn't sell it in store. They didn't sell it in stores below, about 60 miles away. It had been on that supply list for about 20 years. And if I hadn't raised such a fuss about it, saying, hey, folks, this doesn't exist, it would probably say, green eraser still. It's crazy. Eraser. See, God very often gives us these general parameters. Here's something you need to take care of. He doesn't tell us always the exact thing, but he says, you need to stay away from this stuff. And this is the type of stuff that you need to do. And we're supposed to use our God-given brain to be able to figure out the difference and know which ones go where. Sometimes he gives us very specific things to do. You know, that's not really all that often. And people rebel against those new things. He tells us exactly what needs to happen in order to become a child of God. He tells us the things that need to be included in our worship. He tells us we know that he's going to all the world. But doesn't necessarily give specifics on exactly how to do it. There are some parameters within it, but we've got lots of options. And so nowadays we understand we can make CDs. We can have a website. There's lots of things that we can do. Sometimes just having this list of do's and don'ts and think we can just follow that is kind of like trying to teach a child how to swim by correspondence course. Now, there's some things you can learn by correspondence course, but I don't think swimming is one of them. Lesson one, jumping away. Lesson two, if you're still alive, you pass. Because I don't know how you would teach swimming by correspondence course. It doesn't work. And religion, serving God the way He wants us to serve, doesn't work by correspondence course. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We've heard that many times in Proverbs 22, verse 6. And yet, it's one of those things that kind of confuses us. Because we look at that, and I know my impression when I first looked at that, and for a lot of times, and for a lot of people, is, well, then if they go the wrong way, I didn't do the right thing. Yet I know in the story of the prodigal son, my understanding is the father there is God. And his son went the wrong way. That son, the younger son. I know that we, his creation, are his children, and we all fall sin, or fall short of the glory of God when we sin. So did God fail? Did God teach us wrong? Or did we just not learn it? And yet, you go back to the story of that prodigal son. You know, when it came down to it, when he found himself, when he was in his pig pen, he knew where to go. He knew what his father taught, didn't he? He knew exactly what he could do. You know, I can go back, I'll just ask to be hired like one of the servants. Don't even treat me like your son. Treat me like a hired servant. And so he heads on home. Maybe he was planning on God's father's forgiveness. I don't know. But he was willing to do the job. It has been suggested that one way we ought to think of this particular verse is train a child according to his bent, to his natural talents. to the things that are important to him. And you know, every child is a little bit different. All three of our daughters are different. Rebecca has similarities to the oldest one, similarities to the younger, to our middle one, but she's still her own person, and she should be. We don't make cookie-cutter kids. I remember when I was fairly young, just getting started out. I'd been in Texas just a couple years. I was about 19 or 20, and I went over to a town. I was helping out with some singing instruction, and one of the elders came to me, and we had a long discussion. I don't know why he was talking to me. I was a kid. But he was talking about he was going to resign from being an elder. Because he had twin children. One of them turned out fine. The other one was a scoundrel. And he didn't know. He said, we raised them the same. So he explained to me, how come one went one way and one went the other? Well, they had been trained in the way that they should go. But when you get to a certain age, it's a child's choice, isn't it? But you know what? The child that went the wrong way knew what the father expected, knew what the parents had taught. And I wish I knew what had happened to them, because I haven't had word on them for probably close to 30 years. So I really don't know the full situation of what happened. But, you know, each child needs to be trained according to their best, their own unique way. We have to be involved. We don't want to remove what God put there. Everybody has a different talent, different things of their interest. We need to steer it. We need to guide it. We need to encourage it. We need to develop it. We don't want to make comparison. Well, you ought to be like your sister. Teachers are bad about that. They get the younger sibling of someone else they had. And if that was a really good student, then they expect that they should be that good. Well, maybe they're not that good in that subject. Maybe they're more interested in band and music and things like that, so that's where their talent lies. And so they, well, you ought to be. Or sometimes a kid comes in and the older sibling was a scoundrel, was always getting in trouble, and so the younger one never gets a chance. Because as soon as anything's wrong, they're in trouble because the older brother or sister was always in trouble. Aren't you glad that God doesn't operate like that? But he treats us individually, and we need to do the same thing with our children. My heart, my mind. Be like, well, I've never known it any other way. They shouldn't really be able to point to one lesson and say, oh, that's what I heard. But rather, that's what I've always known. That everybody who goes up there, sometime during the year, that's talked about. And as we get older, just as we talked about, even once we're a Christian, we understand, as time goes along, we should know more about it. Even one of the most basic concepts of, I love you, same thing. It should be over and over, and the Old Testament tells us it was every day, every place you went, everywhere you looked, was a message to tell them of God's will and what they wanted. And when our children want to talk, we need to listen. Wouldn't it be terrible if we had to pray to God because it was of a certain schedule? We're down the dump, we're having a rough time, and we start to pray, and we get a buzz, and you know, wait a minute, I'm busy. And God doesn't do that to us. And as the adults, as parents, we need to take the time to listen to our children. We need to make sure we don't trivialize what they're saying, because if they're coming to us with something, it's important to them. And we may understand, looking from our perspective, it's not that big a deal, but to them it's a big deal. And they're trying to work on it. As parents, we do the best we can to stay on top of our children's lives. We need to know what's being taught in school, because sometimes the wrong things are being taught in school. What friendships do they have that are growing? Which ones are dissolving? And why? Because all of a sudden, their set of friends can change, and they have really good friends, and now we wish they didn't have any friends because of who they're around. Or maybe they're sticking with the same ones and don't realize that those friends are kind of going off the wrong way. One nice thing about living in a smaller town is that I think it's a little bit easier to do that. What things do our children enjoy? What things do they dread? What questions can we answer? And one of the hardest parts for our parents is there's no question off limits. If they ask a question and we won't talk about it, they're going to go to a bad source. They're going to go to someone who will talk about it. And we just lost all control that we might have, any opportunity to help. Part of this communication is that we have to tell the truth. We need to tell the truth about what they're going to face. We need to tell the truth about those. There are bad things out there. I know in our area, one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is we have a lot of chemicals out there that are used for fertilizing cotton fields, peanut fields, and things like that. But that stuff gets stolen so that people have an easier access to some of the things made that they can make crystal meth out of. Crystal meth is very dangerous. Crystal meth has a 70% use at one time addiction rate. Well, you know, a lot of things work. Well, I can try anything one time, right? That's not something you want to try one time. 70% addiction rate. Two uses, it's 90%. And there are no good results from a crystal meth addiction. It's all bad. And if nothing else, in our area, you won't be able to get a job. Because everybody's drug test. Everybody's drug test. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 again. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Tell me when you're not. What time of day is left? Just while they're actually asleep, isn't it? Diligently. How do I know what diligently is? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. From when you get up in the morning, whatever you're doing, until you go back to sleep, you're finding moments to teach. Now, we're not browbeating them. We're not giving a sermon all day long. But every opportunity, and we find the opportunities to talk about, you know, that's something we want to stay away from. Did you see how they treated them over there? That was good. That's the way we need to be. I want you to go over there and help them. Go give them a hug. Go encourage them. And so we teach them continually. We pray about things together. We pray about the test coming up. Not that they will actually pass it, but that they can remember the things that they studied. Oh, you didn't study? Well, I guess that's not going to do a whole lot of good. Because you've got to put some work into it to be able to do it. We pray about fools, because they will be fools if they're trying to do the right thing. How can they be a friend to someone who's being bullied so that person doesn't feel alone? Because if you're being bullied, you feel alone. You feel very much alone, and you need someone to step in and be a friend if you for a little while. Any concern that they have is a chance to live it. And now this next passage out of Proverbs chapter 4. It's a long passage, 1 through 27. I'll be reading it very quickly. But listen to this father as he communicates to his son. And as we read this, I need you to remember that he's not just teaching this one time and this is it, and listen to this son and don't forget it. This is actually a summation. The way I understand it, the summation of this child's getting ready to go out into the world in our society, graduation perhaps, something like that. And he's reminding his son of what he's been taught from a very young age when they wake up, when they go by the way, when they sit at the house until they go back to sleep. He's reminding him of all the different things in general, big chunks, that he's taught them. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention and all understanding. For I give you good doctrine. That's teaching. Someone says they don't have doctrine. That means they don't teach anything. There are religious groups who will tell you they have no doctrine. Okay? I know you're not teaching from the Bible, then. For I give you good teaching, or good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one beside my mother, he also taught me and said to me, oh, he's teaching what he was taught. And we teach to our children so they can teach it. Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your giving of the wisdom, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, nor do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Not only telling and reminding this young person of the things that he saw them to do, but of the things to avoid, to stay away from. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever bright to the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all your flesh. You understand? Again, there's no way he's just saying this one time. This is what he's taught the whole time. This is what I learned from my daddy, and this is what I've passed on to you, and you need to know these things, and you can pass them along. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Pay attention to what you're doing. Look where you're going. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Don't just wander around aimlessly. Don't just go wherever. I have taught you, you said earlier, with paths of wisdom. Of course, one on one there. But they're all going back to where they need to go. Do not turn to the right or to the left and remove your feet from evil. You start finding yourself going along the wrong path, admit it, get back to where you need to be. If you don't know what to teach your children, here's a good place to start. It tells us. Proverbs chapter 4.
My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you, take control, I give my body, my very
homeschooled. I don't care where you go to school, the most vital learning is in the home. Parents, we're responsible for that. We have to take care of that. And encouragement is essential. There are enough negative forces in this world. If we can't find the positive and focus those things on our own kids, then we have a problem. And the problem is not the kid, because the kids belong to God. We are responsible for God's gift. We're responsible for taking care of something that God finds very precious. That He wishes we all could become like and be willing to learn like they're willing to learn. Be willing to try and be willing to trust as they should be. Psalm 139, starting verse 13, for you formed my inward with part, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and sealed through rot in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. God knew our children before we did. They're a gift from Him. We are responsible for taking very good care of them, teaching them the right paths, teaching them according to the talents, the natural talents they have, so they can go out and repeat the process themselves. In Proverbs 14, verse 1, it says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. We need to be careful what we do. We need to encourage our children. In John 6, starting verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Wow. Even Jesus had people who wanted to go away. But this is, you know, it's in the book of John. John deals a lot with the last of Jesus' days on earth, a lot of things that the other Gospels don't necessarily talk about. And people weren't liking that things were getting tough, and Jesus wasn't going to just entertain them with miracles all day long. And they wanted to leave. Jesus said, well, do you want to leave? Well, where else would we go? Do we understand that God has those instructions for us? Do we understand that we teach that to our children? No, every parent's goal is to be half as great as your five-year-old thinks you are. We have a five-year-old there at home, and her daddy is the world. He can do no wrong. Wouldn't it be great to be half as good as what your five-year-old thinks you are? That's often hard to live up to. Oh, by the way, there's a second half to that. Not only do we want to be half as great as our five-year-old thinks we are, but only half as dumb as our 15-year-old thinks we are. It's amazing what 10 years does. 10 years, we go from the greatest to the dumbest. We're the same people. We have about 10 really good years in there to get a lot of instruction done. to form that path. Teach them not our path, but God's path, the path that God has already described for us. You know, the world has various property laws, and this is how the world lives. I see this every day at school. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it does not appear in any way to be yours. This is how the world teaches things. This is what happens in school all day long. Well, it's mine. Well, I found it on the floor. It rolled off of her desk and fell on the floor. It's mine. No, it's hers. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. If I thought first, it's mine. If you're using something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. Isn't this the world, the way the world thinks? Not everybody. But when you find someone who does not think like this, when you find somebody who actually cares for other people's stuff, who, if they borrow something, understand that you ought to return in as good condition or better. If it was dirt, clean it up. If it only had half a tank of gas or a lot more, you fill it up. You take care of the thing, right? People don't think like that anymore, do they? Oh, there's one more. If it's broken, it's yours. Right? Isn't that sad? We need to teach our children better than that. And the world has all types of lists like that. And we do, and they're humorous, but it's the way people live. We've got to teach them better than that. We can't just be good according to the world. We have to be trying to follow what God says to do. Joshua chapter 24, start with verse 14. Of course, this goes on down, my favorite verse. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And what was he at this time? He was their father. He was the patriarch. He was the one that was left of those who made it to the river the first time. One of the only two who said, "God's on our side, we can go into the land." And all the other adults of their age and older died in the wilderness. Moses didn't get to cross into the promised land. He died before they went in. They've gone into the land. They have done a lot of work, and they made some mistakes along the way. Joshua's getting ready to die, and he's saying, "My children," kind of like John writes when he talks about his children. He's saying, "Make a choice." And along with these people alive, and the elders who were elders at that time were alive, the people followed. But the next generation didn't pass along the information, and they went back down people. The only way you break that cycle is you teach it. It's the only way that we can pass along. It's our call. What was that first verse that we did? We talked about, unless the Lord builds the house, it's all in vain. How do we let the Lord build the house? Teach what the Lord teaches. Last time. My heart, my mind, my body. responsible for that. Don't care where you send them to school, they do most of their learning home. They do less than 25% of school teachers learn. Get math. Petitions, only about 16% at best, count lunch time, of the learning at school. Most of it's at home. Communication is critical. Encouragement is essential. And again, from Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain to build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. You can teach your children lots of good stuff about math, reading, and writing, and how to get along with people, and how to make friends, and how to hold a job, and all that. But if you're not teaching about the Lord, if you're not teaching about the Lord's instructions and the Lord's way of doing things and the Lord's way of humility and humbling ourselves and putting others first, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain to do it. We want God to watch over our children, to watch over as they grow up, so that we can have a hope that as they get older, they're going to make their own decisions. Sometimes it's not the decision we'd like to make. We have better hope and plans. We've taught them enough, so when they end up in their pig pen, they'll know where they can come back to find the truth, to find the right paths, and then they'll know how to get there. Again, we thank you for your invitation. I appreciate you for your attention. I know from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, it's real hard to stay awake. You've done a really good job. I appreciate it. I didn't fall asleep once this last hour. I'm proud of me. And appreciate you. Lord willing, we'll be along this way again as we go various places. And I've always enjoyed coming out here. So glad that several years ago we made our first journey this way and have been able to keep this association going. We love you and keep you in our prayers. We hope you do the same for our congregation, because everywhere congregations are struggling against the world and trying to do the best they can. This world's not getting any better, is it? This world's not getting any better. And we've got to hang together. We've got to follow God's word. We've got to pray for our evangelists, wherever they might be, for those who are traveling places and giving lessons for their families. And we need to pray for our young people that they can make good decisions, that they can meet each other so they can help support each other. We need to pray for our young families. We need to pray for our older people. We need to keep watching out for each other. The world's not going to do this. The world's going to fight us. This afternoon, if there's anything that we can do to help you in your desire to follow God, and your desire to walk those correct paths, to be able to teach those paths with humility, because we didn't originate the paths, God did. If there's anything we can do to help you in that, let us know if you would